Okay, so tonight we're going to learn Rav Pinkus on Parshas Vayeshev. I know maybe some of you thought I was going to do Chanukah, but we're going to have a shmooze on Friday, a very good shmooze on Chanukah for those of you that are here. And then Mitzvah Shem Tuesday night we're going to have a Geshmaka Tish. You ready, Mayor?
Monday night's the Masiba,
correct. Okay, Monday night's the Tish. What time did it say what it is?
10:15.
Okay. 10:15. Okay. So tonight we're going to see Vayeshev, because at this point a lot of people are already ignoring the parsha, so we want to make sure to have some Yesodis out of this parsha as well. Okay. Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Miguri Aviv. Yaakov Avinu dwelled in the land of his father's dwelling. So there's a very famous Rashi. Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva. Yaakov Avinu wanted Leshe B'Shalva, to dwell, to just relax, to chill. He wanted to have a nice retirement. That's why Rashi's darshan the word Vayeshev, right? That he wanted, that's what he wanted. His dream was that he would be able to just sit nicely and do what he needed to do. Kafatz olav regzah shel Yosef. As soon as he thought that maybe finally I have a chance to relax in my life, then immediately this whole turmoil with Yosef begins to envelop him. Tzadikim evakshim leisha b'shalva. Tzadikim, they want to have a calm, serene, nice life. Aymra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem says, L'idayin l'tzadikim Hashem esukun l'melma haba. It's not enough that we're going to give you Eilam Haba. El Hashem evakshim leisha b'shalva Eilam Hazeh. You also want this world too? You can't have both worlds. You get this world or you get the next world. You want this world, I'll give you this world. But if you want the next world, if you want to have a nice nitzchias, full of pleasure, full of hana, full of einig, and Edon, then you have to understand that this world is not going to be that. You can't have both. You're going to have this world and the next world. If you want the next world, then you have to expect this world to be full of challenges. Yaakov Avinu Bikesh Leisha B'Shalva. So Rav Pinkus says, Hutan Kach. This is what the thinking, what was the logic of Yaakov Avinu by expecting to live B'Shalva? He says like this, Avraham Avinu Yasha B'Shalva. Avraham Avinu, he lived in tranquility. Amnam B'Meshach Ezer Shanim Hu Haya Asur Beis Hasrim. It's true that not his whole life did he have a relaxing lifestyle. After all, he was in jail for 10 years. Ulachem ikein aver nisyanes, nisafim, shesiyim haya b'nisayin ha'akeda. He had 10 nisyanes, and the climax of which was the Akeda. Achla achar nisayin ze, ad saif yama. But after this nisayin of Akeda Sitzchak, until the end of his life, zachalesha b'shalva, l'loi kol nisayin ha'itzar. Avraham Avinu had a nice retirement. Avraham Avinu, at least the sunset years of his life, I think is what they call it, right? The years that the sun is setting and now you're just like looking back, you already did your work, you did all of your, you put in your hours and now you just want to chill, you want to kick back and relax a little bit. Avraham Avinu, on a certain level, had that. He didn't have nisyanus, he didn't have tzaris after the Akedah. V'yidum devrei chazal shafilu es hatzar shayin nigram lo Yaakov yitzias nechtai esav ekev yitzias nechtai esav l'tar b'sroi. Even, it's true, in case you're wondering, well, at the end of his life, didn't he know about Esav? But chasach min HaKadosh Baruch Hu yidei shelachem min ha'aylam chameshan mufnei zmanai. He took him out of this world 5 years before he was supposed to really die, so that he would not see all that would ensue between Yaakov and Esav, and what Esav was, that's what they say, that when Esav was, that day that Yaakov Avinu was making the Nezir Adoshim, the lentil soup, Rashi says that was an Avelus for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had died that day, And from that point on, when Esav gave over the Bechaira to Yaakov, and then there was a lot of sinna, ultimately, of course, with the taking of the brachas from him, so Avraham Avinu was spared seeing all of that family strife. Yitzchak Avinu Hayanavi, who Yashe B'Shalva B'Beisai, Vayamuftach Shashem Davil Yikralai. Yitzchak Avinu was a Navi, and he was promised that nothing would happen to him. He was an Eil Tmimah. He didn't have to go anywhere. He didn't have to do any Golas. He didn't have to leave Eretz Yisrael. He had a pretty, relatively speaking, a pretty easy life. We don't find that Yitzchak Avinu had too many challenges, at least not after the Akedah. Gamli Eifai. So Yaakov Avinu was understandably thinking to himself, hey, maybe I should also have that same experience. Magia leisha b'shalva, kach tan Yaakov Avinu l'Hashem. Why shouldn't I get a nice final phase of life? Elama, what's the answer? Why is it so? Why was Yaakov Avinu made to have this difficult end of life? Because midasa shel Yaakov Avinu hu taira. Because at the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu represents Taira. He was the embodiment of Taira. The Yaakov Ishtam Yeshev Eholim. Whenever you want to understand how a Ben Taira is supposed to act in everything, Yaakov Avinu is the semel of a Ben Taira. Yaakov Avinu was the Ishtam Yeshev Eholim. Yaakov Avinu learned in Shem Ve'Aver for 14 years and he didn't just learn, he learned non-stop with Hasmada, with Amkus. He did everything honestly. He worked as hard as he could and he gave everything that he had. He's the semel of a Ben Taira. Uvizchus Mida Zu Zachal Anachala Bili Mitzarim. And because of this Mida of Taira, Yaakov Avinu is the one who is Zaycha, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, to Nachala Bili Mitzarim. He gets an unlimited inheritance. She gedayla mikol nachleis avaysav. He surpasses the nachla of his forefathers. Achedarshu chazav misar shabbos ala pasuk va'achil ticha nachas yagav avicha like Avram shekasu bay kum esalech baris larka. Not like Avram Avinu that there is a gavol. Go and walk the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael. Like Yitzchak Shekasabai, Kilecho Ulezaracha Etein Eskal Aratze Ha'el. Also, a vast swath of land, but not unlimited. Eloki Yaakov Shekasabai Uparatzta Yama Vakedim Vitzafayna Vanegba. That your borders will break out of every direction. Meaning it'll just keep on rolling. Yaakov Avinu's Nachala, his inheritance, is his chelek in this world and the next world is limitless. Why? Because he was Zeicha and Taira. Since his Mida was Taira, Taira is the ultimate of all Midas. L'nachla shekibla Avraham Avinu l'vashalm yesh Mida yesh l'gevul. Gam b'midas ha-chesed, shemidas Avraham Avinu yitachin matzav shadam yargash sipok mimaisa ha-chesed shehu oiseh. There might be a sipuk from the Maisa Chesed that you do, meaning that there's a limit. There's an ability to say, okay, I experience some satisfaction from the Chesed. I have sipuk. There's a point that there's a saturation point sometimes for Chesed. I've done my share of Chesed. I feel good that I've done Chesed, and now I'm okay. I could stop. I could hang up my Chesed hat now. I tasted the Chesed. Umidas ha-tfila, shemidas Yitzchak Avinu alav shalom. Tfila was Yitzchak Avinu's mida. Kimeduma shegam ba shayaches metziah shadam yikne es kayach ha-tfila. You could also be kind of the kayach of tfila. Hulakeach liyad of siddur, v'asiddur kaviyachol kivar medaber elov. The siddur talks to him. My daughters have stickers they got in school. It says, Lashon Hara lo medaber elai. Remember that? Lashon Hara doesn't speak to me. It's like, it's supposed to be like it doesn't appeal to me, but but a siddur sometimes, davening speaks to me. What does that mean? It means I have a sipuk from it. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I feel a saturation point with davening. I feel good. I don't feel that there's, of course, there's always a higher level of davening that you could aspire for, but there comes a point that if I'm really good in davening, I could feel a sense of accomplishment, of satisfaction. There's a point that there's a midah, there's a gvul. It's not, I do chesed, I'm a master of chesed, I'm in hatzal and chaverim and everything, and then after a while it just sort of tapers off because I have my fill. Fila also, it's sort of also, you feel, I've accomplished it, I've climbed this mountain, I've succeeded. But Torah lo shayach davar kazeh. Torah is different than this. Torah is not like the other types of midas. La'amal ha-Torah ein saif ein gevol umida. For amelus ba-Torah, there's no end. There's no boundaries. V'zui nachlas Yaakov Avinu ha-mesura l'chol misham ba-Torah. Not only for Yaakov Avinu is this true, but for anyone that decides to have amelus ba-Torah, this is what the outcome is, that it will never end. Torah tziva lanu meishem rashi kilas Yaakov, maim rashi kilas Yaakov, yirushi l'kilas Yaakov, shekala oisek ba l'shma, zoicha l'nachlas Yaakov. If you're zoicha in Torah l'shma, then you are zoicha to nachlas Yaakov, shenemar, os tisaneg al Hashem achalticha's v'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha. So Torah is inherently different than everyone else. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, his chelek, was very different than everybody else. Because Avraham, Yitzchak, they had a certain amount to accomplish, and they accomplished it. Avraham Avinu was the Si HaChesed, he was the bastion of chesed in the world. And at a certain point, he did what he was supposed to, his mission accomplished. I did. I was makar of the whole world. I brought monotheism to the world. I had a million guests at my table and under my tree and in my hotel. And I did everything that I could with chesed. Yitzchak Avinu with his davening, he was pail tremendous yeshuas. He was able to change the world with his davening. But davening also, there's a point that you daven and that's it. But Torah is completely a different category. Torah is something that it never ends. It never ends. You see, in our own times, you see Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zal Gesundheit. It's a person, he's how old is he, Mayor?
He has
93 or so. Okay, 9 hours. He's in his 90s. All right. He's known, he's been a bucky in Shas and Paiskim since probably he was Bar Mitzvah. And I'm not exaggerating. At 18 years old, he wrote a sefer called, when I was learning Saita, when I was a bacher, like 30 years ago, whatever, I was learning Saita, and in Mesechta Saita, there's a parak called Egla Rufa. And Egla Rufa speaks about, as you would expect, Egla Rufa. And there's not so many mefarshim in general in Mesechta Saita. Lately, the people have put out more svarim about it, but then it was very, very shvach. They didn't have the mesifta then. It was, and you were like trying to find mefarshim on the parak of Egla Rufa. And so I was just like, you know, going through Chaim Berlin's library in their Eitzer, and I came across a sefer called Nachal Eson. And open it up, it's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's sefer. It's a pretty thick sefer, I don't know, this thick, but it's, you know, it's probably 3/4 of this, only on the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. And it's very hard, it's a short parak, it's not a long parak, it's a few psukim in the Chumash, without that many mefarshim, and he wrapped Kala Torah Kula up in the sugya of Egla Rufa. Every sugya in Shas, you look in the Mafteach of that sefer, whether it's about the brachas that you make about on the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, or about every single sugya in Shas, I tell you, is found in the sefer Nachal Eson. He wrote this sefer when he was 18 years old. He didn't learn everything that he knew when he was 18 years old. He knew everything probably when he was Bar Mitzvah. So you'd think, okay, he graduated already. Like, how much more? Doesn't he reach a saturation point? Like, isn't there a time that, you know, you just say, all right, hang up your Gemara, like, just, and go to Boca. Like, what are you doing? Every year he makes a siyum on Kala Torah Kula. So for 90 years or whatever, 85 years, He's making a siyum on Shas every year. Bavel, Yerushalmi, Zayar, Taisefta, Sifra, Sifri, Tiras Kayanim, Medrash Rabba, Yalkut Shemayin, whatever, everything. The whole Beis Medrash, this man learns every single year. He makes a siyum, Erev Pesach. His siyum, we like scramble Erev Pesach, you know, to finish Tainus or something. He's making a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kulo. So you think, okay, enough. Every day he has what he calls chayvus. Chayvus is that it's like his obligation. Every day he has to learn a certain amount. So he has to learn, I don't know, whatever. Who knows how many, probably 100 blot, you know, Gemara Rashi Taisus. And, you know, I'm saying he has to learn 7.5 blot of Bavli. And who knows how many blot of Yerushalmi. And then I'm sure there's Chazaras built in. And he has Zayar. All these things he has to learn every single day. He has a constant diet every single day of Limud HaTorah. And that's what he has to do. That's his chayvus. Once he gets those obligations, those debts out of the way, then he spends a lot of time greeting people every day. Every day he has, there's a line of people that he gives brachas to, and then he has special people that have more pull that he gives more time to, and then he writes a svarim, and then he answers letters from all over the world. You have a letter, Akasha and Learning somewhere. I don't know if he still does it, but I think he still does. But for years, for decades, he writes letters. He has people that are, you know, he has a whole assembly line. He writes the tshuva. Somebody else maybe stuffs the envelope, writes the address, puts a stamp on it, sends it out. Hundreds of letters maybe every day he has to respond to. Then he has all the communal things. He's got Kupato Yer that comes and have to take a photo op of putting some money into a big, you know, oversized pushka. And then he's got to do, for Kapparas, it never ends. This is from early morning until late at night, and there's people taking his picture constantly and asking him for, it's crazy. I mean, and he has a family. He has a large family. I don't know, he has many, many children. Many, many, many grandchildren and many, 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 many great-grandchildren. Great-great-grandchildren. He's a sandik every morning for who knows how many brisen. It's crazy life. So wouldn't you think that he'd say, listen, enough chayvus. Like, I know it. You could test me, okay? I know it. What's the answer? Why do you still see pictures of Chaim sitting and learning day and night? The answer is because when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Amelus, there really never is an end. It's one thing that you never graduate from. You never graduate. You can graduate dental school, you can graduate law school, medical school, accounting and architecture. You can graduate and then you know it. But Torah is never like that. There's never a person that could ever say that he did it, he knows it. You never feel that way. Because the more you know, only an Amaretz feels that they know enough Torah, because they don't know what Torah is. So they say, yeah, I went to yeshiva, I did my time in yeshiva, I know enough. Only an Amaretz could say that. But a Talmud Chacham knows how much he doesn't know. The more you learn, the more you realize that I know nothing. And the greater that you are, the more you realize that. The more brilliant you are, ironically, the more you realize that you know nothing. Reb Kiveger, we don't have people to compare to, because Reb Kiveger was the Gaon of Gaonim. Is a Gaon that we don't understand his brain. But, and the whole Torah world like learns his svarim, and whatever he says is, you know, I've had Rebbeim that told me, you know, don't try to, you know, you could try to, you know, understand Reb Kiveger's kind of, like I know, I think Reb Gifter used to, he once learned Reb Kiveger, and he had a teretz for Reb Kiveger. So, but he knew that that can't be, because if Reb Kiveger asked the question, then Reb Kiveger certainly knew the answer to the question. So he says, it must be that I learned the whole sugya wrong. So he spent like days just trying to figure out where he went wrong in his understanding of the sugya, so that he could, until he finally chapped, oh, now I know why I learned it wrong. We would say, like, we learn a sugya once, we're ready, okay, I have a teretz for Reb Kiveger, I have a yeshiva for Reb Kiveger. You don't know what you're talking about. If Reb Kiveger didn't think of that, then suffice it to say, we can't think of it. Not to say you shouldn't try to think of it. You could try all you want. But if you do think of something, especially if it comes too easily, it's because you're wrong. So Reb Kiveger is somebody who, you know, he's the gold standard of Achreinim. His Svarim, his Taira, is Miyuchad B'minay. The Stipler used to say that, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, that the reason why Reb Kiveger was Zeichet is such acceptance in the Torah world, that, you know, there were probably other Gainim in that Dardea that he lived in that you probably never heard of, and I never heard of, but, you know, there's Svarim, go to libraries, you'll find, like, brilliant Svarim, that just, nobody knows them. Then there's the Shagazai, Reb Kiveger, the Ketzais, the Nesivas, like, there's classics, and then there's, for every one classic, there's probably 10,000 Svarim that may have been classic, they just didn't, you just don't know about them. So what did Reb Kiveger have special? So the Sabbis say he was zeichet to his great acceptance in Klal Yisrael because of his anivus. If he was great in his ga'inus, he was greater in his modesty and his humility. He was very, very, he didn't hold of himself at all. When there was he was offered a position as a rav in Vilna, and when, I think Reb Abba Pestlever was nifter maybe, he was offered that position. And he said, I should be a rav in Vilna. He says, if I was lucky, if I was worthy, maybe I'd be worthy to be a shamus in a shul in Vilna. But to be a rav in the city of Vilna, an ir that's an ir atayra like Vilna, he's like, who am I to be? This is Reb Kiveger talking. So he once, at the end of Simchas Torah, after Simchas Torah, so every year he got Chasan Torah. That's the minig in many, many places. They give the rub every year, Chasan Torah. So they saw he was like tearing up after he came down from Chasan Torah, like in his, you know, 30th year of getting Chasan Torah, like, you know, he was crying. So they went over to him, what's wrong? Is, you know, is something wrong? Something bothered you? You want Chasan Bereshis? Like, what's upsetting you? So he said, it's been 30 years now that I'm Chasan Torah, and I still don't know the Kallah. He felt that he didn't know the Torah. This is Reb Kiveger. This is after all the Shailos HaTshuvos Reb Kiveger, after all the Drush V'Chiddush Reb Kiveger, after all the Torah that we have from Reb Kiveger, he still felt that he didn't, he knew everything. He knew everything. I think I told you this before, this year, that whenever I walk through Home Depot, don't stop me, when I walk through Home Depot, like I go sometimes with my daughter to Home Depot, and I always remember this Maisa Reb Kiveger. So, and I tell it over to whoever I'm with. But you know, you go to Home Depot, and you ask one of these guys that are making minimum wage. You know, it's like huge store. Home Depot is like literally 20,000 products in Home Depot, probably more. Right, every little nook and cranny, every single doorknob and doorbell and refrigerator and washer and dryer and, you know, and hinge and lumber and that, whatever you want is in Home Depot. So you ask this guy, like, excuse me, do you know where I could get a, a door stopper? He says, yeah, that's aisle 33. Okay, and where would I get, you know, like how did he know that? How do you know it's aisle 33? Where do you get something to, under the drain, like outside the house? You don't want the water to pool, like there's a little ramp. Where is that? Oh, that's aisle 64. So we just walk away. I tell my daughter, is he like the Rogachev or this guy? Like, how does he know that? How long would it take me to try to figure out, you know, what aisle everything is in a store? With thousands of things in a store, 100 aisles, how does this guy know it? He probably didn't pass the regents. How does he do that? So she said, I don't know. So I said, I'll tell you the answer. Kiveger was once asked the same question, how do you know every Tysus in Shas? Every Kiveger, you know, every Gilyan HaShas, and he knew every, he couldn't find anything that he didn't know. Every Rishon, every Akron, Reb Kiveger had on his fingertips, mamish. And they said, this is not human. It's not normal that you should know so much, that one brain should know so much Torah. How do you know it? How do you grasp it? Like, we don't know anything. Like, you know everything. So Reb Kiveger said, he says, I'm not a genius. He says, go to the local tailor and ask him, tell him that you lost a button for your suit. But, you know, this is a standard button. But let's say, you know, in the olden days they had buttons with like, you know, like the blazers with the gold buttons, and it has like some, you know, some shtick on the button, a knife, a fork, or this or that, whatever it is on the button. And you go over to the tailor and you say, do you have a matching button? My button fell off, I can't find it, and I need that button, dafka. So he has like 30 boxes on the shelves in his little store, and every box literally has thousands, tens of thousands of buttons. He takes a ladder, he goes up to box number 42, takes it off the shelf, and he like, 2 seconds later, he finds the button. And he sews it on. So Kivager says, is that man a genius? Is the guy in Home Depot a genius? The answer is he's not a genius. It's just, this is my livelihood. This is my life. If I don't know where that button is, then I'm out of business. If the guy in Home Depot, they probably give him faharas. If he doesn't know which aisle, you know, a light switch is, or which aisle, you know, a door stopper is, then he's out. Reb Kivager says, Torah is not just a hobby. Torah to me is my life. Not just, it's not only his livelihood because he's a Ravi. Rabbanim don't need to know that much. The reason why, it was his life. Torah is his life. And so he says, I have to know this. This is something that I need to know. Just like a surgeon needs to know everything before he goes into surgery because that's his life. If he doesn't know like exactly which artery goes where or which, I don't know, which gland is affecting, you know, something else in the anatomy, then he's a murderer. This is my life. I need to know every Taisus and Shas, every Rashi and Shas, every Rashba, every Ritva, everything. Because if I don't know it, then I'm out of business. It's not, then I don't have a life. That's the definition of Torah. Torah is not something that you can ever graduate from. That's why, by the way, we never, you know, Sfaradim call their sages, they call them Chachamim. You know, Chacham Avad Yosef. Ashkenazim never call anyone a Chacham unless it's Purim and they're trying to, like, you know, we always say a Talmud Chacham. Why a Talmud Chacham? Because there's no such thing as a Chacham. Obviously, Rav Avadia Yosef Taka was a Chacham, okay? But a Talmud Chacham means that I recognize that I have not made it. I'm still a Talmud of a Chacham. I'm never a Chacham. The second you think you're a Chacham, you're not a Talmud Chacham either. You're nothing. A person that understands Torah understands that it's a lifelong pursuit. You'll learn and you'll learn and you'll learn and it will never end. And that's a good thing because you're supposed to develop with time. We're supposed to develop a love for learning that we don't want it to end. We don't want it to end. We want it to continue. We want to like be learning till our dying breath. We want to be able to learn. But never to expect to like get to a plateau that you're good, you're done. Yaakov Avinu, Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva, he wanted to rest. He thought that he'd be able to like, whatever it means by Yaakov Avinu to retire. He wanted to sort of be like his father, like his grandfather, and just like live out the last years of his life quietly. But he didn't, because that's not the definition of a Yaakov Avinu. An ish tam yeshiva halam, a ben Torah, Talmud Chacham, is somebody that ain lay menucha. There's no Talmud Chacham doesn't have menucha, loy loy mazah, loy loy haba. It never ends. Until your last day, you're all in. Look at the G'dayli Yisrael that we were zeichet to in the last 10, 20 years. Rav Shach was over 100 years old. Rav Steinemann was over 100 years old. Rav Yashua was over 100 years old. They didn't retire. There was no, okay, 65 years old, you know, retire, you know, go to, you know, a lot or something, and just like, that didn't exist. You learn, and you learn, and you learn, and you lead, and you lead, and you lead, and you chazi, you write, you write, you write, and then you write some more, and like, you know, and like, they're still writing, as the Chaver Kaddish are, like, readying their body, they're still writing Chidushim. Torah never ends. For Avraham Avinu, Chesed could plateau, tefillah could plateau. Torah never plateaus. Torah just continues and on and on and on. You can't retire from Torah. your duty, if you're going to be dedicating your life to Torah, you should know, don't expect, it's not a doctorate that you can get, you know, I'm a rabbi, okay, I have smicha, and now, boom, I'm done. Because now there's no higher degree to get. Well, okay, I'll be a dayan, like, what? That's not the point. That's why a lot of yeshivas don't even give smicha, because it's such a, almost like a ziyuf in Torah to give smicha. It's like it's the wrong impression that you're giving with Torah, with smicha. Smicha implies that, okay, you graduate, you can tell your parents that, you know, you're a rabbi, and now what? Now that's it. Okay, you can't go higher. There's no post-rabbinate. That's it. It is what it is. So once you become a rabbi, now I could go to medical school, I go to law school, but at first I want to be a rabbi because that means that I've accomplished all that I can in terms of Torah, and now I could do everything else. That's a ziyuf. That's not accurate. That's undermining the mahus of Torah. Torah is not, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get smicha, it's a good thing to have. But don't, in your wildest imaginations, believe for a second that smicha entitles you to feel that, okay, I've done it. I've climbed the mountain, I took the fahers, and now I'm the rabbi, I'm the gadol hadar. It doesn't work that way. With other things, it does. I don't think people that are, you know, dentists, once you get your license, you're good. You have to go for continuing ed once in a while. But, you know, other than that, you're good. You're done. Yeah, there's no, I mean, they still practice all the time. I don't know why. They still say that they have a practice. But they're not, you know, they're not actually, they feel that they're done. And they are. Well, how much more about teeth can you learn? When it comes to Torah, it's so deep. Torah is so deep, like, you know, just even on a basic level, forget Gemara, just Chumash, okay? You learn Chumash, and you learn, like, this Rashi. You learn this Rashi when you're 5, when you're 6, when you're 7, when you're 10, when you're 30, when you're 50. Every time I see this Rashi, like, different things pop into my brain that I haven't thought of in the past. As you get older, and as your yedias broaden, now you're coming with more things to look at the Rashi with, much more points of light to direct at that Rashi, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I never saw that before, I never thought of that. That's how Torah is, and that's just with the Pasuk Chumash with Rashi. You know, if you're learning Gemara, and there's a Rashi, and there's a Taisa, there's a Machlekes, and what's going on, and, you know, you see Achreinim, Rishainim, and like, now you're coming up with your own ideas, because now you have, your brain is so much more accomplished. This is a lifetime endeavor. It's not just one lifetime. You could really spend 1,000 lifetimes learning Torah, and you still would never graduate. That's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu can't retire. Avraham Avinu retired, and Yitzchak Avinu retired, whatever that means for them. But Torah never, there's never menucha when it comes to Torah. It's a beautiful thing. It's so inspirational to see Gedalei Olam that are still in their 90s, over 100. Rebbe Yashiv was a brilliant man. Rebbe Yashiv was learning day and night since he was, you know, who knows how young. And you know, his grandfather, the Leshem, who was the greatest Kabbalist of his time, writes in a sefer that you know, that he has this grandson, you know, who was Rebbe Yashiv, who was a young kid at the time, and he was mechadish this chiddush in Kabbalah. Rebbe Yashiv knew not just halacha, not just Gemara, which he has svarim ha'aris on Shas. He knew Kabbalah, he knew Nigla, he knew Nistar, he knew Machshava. We have a sefer, beautiful Torah, I've given it in the Svad. More than one year, Sefer Haggadah, it's called. These were people that knew everything, but they did not stop learning. Rebbe Yashiv was a masmid till his dying day. He was waking up at 2:00 in the morning to get up to learn. He would kick his covers off when the weather was like this outside and it was freezing cold, and we know that we don't want to get out of that toasty bed, you know, at 7 in the morning. He was a man in his hundreds. And he was, you know, he had a yetzar maybe to stay in bed because it was freezing cold, but he would kick his blanket off so that he wouldn't have that yetzara. And he got up every morning, 2:00 in the morning. His wife would get up also, make him a cup of coffee when she was still alive. His wife was protecting him, like to make sure that, you know, he was just learning. That was her job. One time she, I think she fell in the kitchen and she was like bleeding, and like her daughter like came in like a few hours later. She found her like, you know, like mamish semi unconscious. She says, "What's going on?" She says, "I fell, and you know, why didn't you call Tati?" She says, "Tati's learning. Can't disturb him in his learning." You'd think, like, I could disturb my husband in his learning. He's 7 years old. He knows everything. Like, why can't I disturb him? She was so guarding him that every single second he'd be learning that she didn't want anything to disturb him. She mamish, like, she hated when people came with political issues to ask him. And even Shiloh said, "I didn't marry a politician. I married a Talmud Chacham. What's going on? When is he going to, why is he not learning?" Because Torah never ends. It just never, ever ends. That's a beautiful thing. It's not a depressing thing. It's not like, so what's the point? Like, I'm never, no, that is the point. The point is that you're engaged in something that has, it has no end. It's endless. But that's its eternity. You're touching, when you learn Torah, you're touching Nitzchis, because Torah itself is Nitzchi. It's the only thing in the world like that. Everything else, it ends. You know, everything else, as quantum physics, there's a limit to how much you know about quantum physics, and then it ends. You can't say, well, I could spend 100 years learning. If you're a brilliant person, it would take you X number of years to master quantum. That's it. That's the tip. That's the end of the knowledge, of human knowledge at this point in time. So that's not Nitzchi. That's very, it's temporal. But when it comes to Torah is the one thing that when you're learning Torah with your chavrusa, what you're really doing is you're touching eternity. It's the only thing that's eternal in this world. Nothing else lasts forever like this. And when you're engaged in something as much as you can, as deep as you can, with all of your energy, with all of your kaichas, that's the closest thing in this world that we will have to touching Nitzchias. And that's why Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah, all the mitzvahs in the world are great, but all of them, if you put them in one, on one side of a scale and you put Torah on the other side of the scale, Torah by far outweighs all of them, because Torah is the Das Elyon. It's the one thing that you could almost feel and hear and see the Rabbeinu Shalom, every word that you say, if you have that right machshava when you're learning Torah. So we're supposed to be Yaakov Avinas, we're supposed to be Bnei Torah, and and this is the lesson that we take from this parsha, and this is something. It's a great lesson to go into Chanukah with, because Chanukah is the Yantav of Torah, Yantav of Torah Shebal Peh. It's Nitzchias, it's Nisim, it's everything Chanukah, but it's Torah. At the end of the day, as much as ironically it's the Yantav that we probably learn the least, because you know night Seder is gone, and you know first Seder is donuts, and lunch is latkes, and you know it's like, so the Yevanim in a way won, but it's still at the end for Bnei Torah. They realize that Chanukah is really Nitzchi. Chanukah is something that never ends, because Chanukah is Torah Shebal Peh, and our pursuit in life, whatever else we're doing with our professional life, with our whatever, with our family life, but the one thing that we have to focus on like a laser is trying to always grow in our learning. Never stop, never say, I've had enough, I got my college degree, I got my smicha, and now I'm done. That's the worst thing. It's a fallacy. It's not true. You're not done. You're never done. Don't think that you're done. You don't want to be done. You want it to go on and on. It's like, you know, it's there are sometimes, you know, you're involved in something that's so enjoyable, you don't want it to end. And that's what Torah should be. It might not be there today. It might be today, it might be hard to learn. Sometimes it's very difficult to learn. It's strenuous, and you don't really understand the language or the logic or the. It's hard. It's sometimes like playing three-dimensional chess, and it's really hard. But the more that you go at it, there's a haftacha from the Rabbeinu Shalom that he will make it sweet. The harav na Hashem lekein, you daven in the morning to make it sweet, and the Rabbeinu Shalom responds. And so, Mitzvah Hashem, we should go into Chanukah with this understanding and with this as our mission in life, to try to always be Maisav HaHailech in the nearest of our life, in the nearest of Torah.